Jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I am Chewy.
Hi!
The adjective?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Sweet.
That completely threw me.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So, smartass number one over there is Squee.
Hi, everybody. I'm here to keep him off track.
And smartass number two is Clues, who is back. Yay.
Hey, I think this was requested.
Oh, my God.
Hope you bring that with you next time we see you in person.
Yeah, right.
I think I will. Hi, everybody.
You do that in the background when Chewie's interviewing people.
I'd hate to have to hurt you in public, but I'll do it. So apparently we phrased something last week because I got two or three tweets saying, so wait, is Clues coming back next week? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, look, I just missed a week. I'm sorry. I had stuff going on in quote unquote real life. Sorry about that, I guess.
You're a monster.
Well, that's true, but not relevant for this discussion, I didn't think.
He's only human.
Flesh and blood, a man.
He's made mistakes. Like that time he played blue.
That is pretty much always a mistake.
Yeah. So, I guess we should just get right to it then. By the way,
probably.
This is episode 554 of Monday Night Magic.
Pretty up there, number.
It's pretty high.
It is.
So, the first bit of news that we have on here to talk about is how there's no news yet.
Yay!
Hooray!
Time.
Yeah. So, originally, announcement day. Wow, that was creepy.
We have an important announcement about announcement day.
So, I think a year ago, they decided we're just going to do announcement day twice a year and just vomit all of the coming news on you. Just blah, everything all at once.
It's like a hairball of knowledge.
It is, yeah.
Oh, that's going as a possible title.
I don't think we should call it that.
I think we should.
They've been gathering up all of the lint of news and whatnot, and then they're just going to have a giant lint ball for you. Sort of like when you clean
the wizard's website like a navel.
What I was thinking more like the lint trap in a dryer, but yeah, okay, sure.
Oh, that's way less gross.
It's a navel.
Yeah, and I just pictured WotC moving all of their offices to a giant boat. Cause see, it's navel.
Ah.
Maybe offshore somewhere.
Judge puns are terrible. Moving
on. Or with oranges. Navel oranges. See, this is why mine are so bad that even judges go, oh, dude. So. But originally, Announcement Day was going to be on March 31st, and we were going to live stream it, and it was going to be neat. But on the 24th, which was, when was that? Oh, last Friday, they decided to make an announcement that Announcement Day will announce in June.
June!
And instead of next week, or this week now.
But they claim, with good reason.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you remember how we were going to do announcement day? Yeah. Well, instead, we want to tell you this stuff, but the stuff's not ready. And then we were going to tell you and just leave that out, but then we'd have to do another announcement day. And we're only allowed to vomit news at you twice. So we're just going to wait on it until it's ready. So it'll be in June. Okay. When in June? We're hoping June.
Well, no, I mean, the point I'm trying to make here is, you remember how back at Magic's 20th anniversary, they like apparently forgot that it was Magic's 20th anniversary? They've noticed that it's Magic's 25th anniversary coming up, and they've got some super awesome stuff coming, but they can't tell us about it yet. Maybe in June.
Hopefully in June. They're hoping in June. So yeah, Magic's 25th anniversary and Magic Online's 15th anniversary are coming up. And quote, we have a number of awesome products and events associated with the momentous year.
So two things. First one, MTGO can get its learner's permit. Second one.
I don't want it driving.
No.
Self-driving MTGO. Second one, I've seen, of course, the first rumor that happens as soon as they're like, yeah, we got some cool products coming up for the 25th anniversary. No, they're probably not reprinting, you know, everything that is on the reserved list. That's not a thing.
You got to save that for the 50th, because then all the people that originally have it are dead.
Yeah, just stop.
I'm not predicting long lives for those people.
I'm going to go ahead and predict that they are going to unban Jace the Mind Sculptor in Modern Masters 2.
In Modern Masters 2.
Yeah, that was the prediction I made back when Modern Masters 2 was coming out, and it wasn't true then either. So, great.
Wow. That's pretty good clues. I like it. I like it a lot.
Are we all just making blind predictions now?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't gonna, but okay.
I predict that the Raiders are gonna move to Vegas.
Like the team, or that Vegas is going to be raided?
Oh, no, the
like
team.
Like the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
Well, that was a thing that I think happened in the news today. There was some stuff on Twitter about it, I guess. I don't really follow the sports, so.
I think they're going to announce that they're going to go back to core sets and having three block sets.
Clues.
Do you
know what sport the Raiders play?
I believe they play the American football.
Okay, good. You're at least.
Yeah, that much I know.
Yeah, you're paying attention that much at least. Good job.
Right.
When you said, I don't follow the sports, like my brain said, you don't follow the sport. And I realized you said the sports. I'm like, does he even know what sport that is? See, that's my mom's team. The old man's team is the Steelers. Mom's team is the Raiders. So
it's 106 GMT, time for the sport.
Oh, my God.
In cricket action today. No, I'm not going to do that because I can't pretend to know how cricket works. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Some things happen.
That's the one with the the quaffle and the snitch, right?
No, I'm pretty sure that's rugby.
Oh, right, because the beaters, yeah.
Right, yes.
But no, because, wait. Look, I learned this from Casey Jones, or actually from Raphael. If you want to play cricket, you got to know where the crumpet is.
Yes. I was really impressed with how far he flew when he was hit with the bat.
Yeah, with a cricket bat, that is pretty impressive.
I'm just looking forward to the new season of Sideball. Everyone out there who gets that joke, you're welcome. Everyone who doesn't, you're not listening to the right podcasts.
Clearly I am not.
That's right.
Okay, so essentially what this is so if we're going to announce this, this was another quote, if we're going to announce that, then we have to announce this too. They're so cool. And every time they did that, they realized that they were like that chain of thought led to things that aren't ready to be announced and won't be ready to be announced by Friday. So instead, they're going to push it back so that it's going to be even more ridiculous and huge and bombastic.
Oh, I'll bet we're finally getting other Deckmaster products.
That would be weird. Yeah, they finally gave us the sci-fi game we wanted.
They're going to have the magic cards with the pinky purple backs like Ice Age was almost printed with.
That's right.
Ooh.
Wait, was it Ice Age? No, it was...
I thought it was Arabian Nights.
It was Arabian Nights. Ice Age was almost a separate standalone game. And then they realized, wait, no, we can just make it an expansion using the same card back. Oh.
We're going to get Magic Unbound, the third unset.
Oh, actually, I wouldn't put it past him for another unset. Or maybe Cold Snap 2, Cold Snappier.
I think Cold Snap is already Cold Snap 3.
Snap harder. So... some people on...
Oh, I know. They found a shipping container full of more homelands, and they're just going to release that.
Are they going to dump it so people can live in it and it'll have a purpose?
I still, look, having played both Homelands Limited and Fallen Empires Limited, Homelands is way better.
I believe you. Fallen Empires is also a mess. It is appropriately named.
Didn't we Winchester draft some Homelands?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Is that the only format it's good for?
It was way better than Winchester drafting Fallen Empires, trust me. Because every creature has a combat-relevant ability, and nobody has evasion, and there's no freaking removal, so it's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving back over here, some people on the social medias, as they do whenever Wizards releases a thing, they go through it with a fine-tooth comb and decide that there are hidden meanings. So let me read this paragraph. To give you, well, a part of this paragraph. To give you an idea, The summer announcement will feature announcements on the fall block, digital products, organized play programs, and wild ancillary releases, many of which stretch into 2018. So people saw that and saw digital products and decided, oh my God, they're announcing the next version of Magic Online.
Can you go ahead and read the next sentence for me as well?
We're not going to waste a single day celebrating our 25 years, so we'll be giving you a long vision of the future. Now, that's what they did with their 20th, is they didn't waste a single day.
I was going to say, the thing is, you can read that sentence two different ways.
Yeah, you can.
I feel like they maybe should have been a little clearer with that. You know, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to leave it open to interpretation.
This way they don't actually make any promises.
That's true. But yeah, so of course, as we've been doing, the speculation is running rampant, and that's because that's what nerds do, is we speculate wildly. So whatever. I'm just going to wait for the actual announcement before I start thinking about it, because I really don't care.
You're right. We're finally going to get the block with the lizards that Dirk promised like 5 years ago.
Salamanders. Yeah.
Salamanders. There you go.
Future Sight 2, Return to Kamigawa.
That is not the future.
Dude, Kamigawa was a really cool place. Sadly, all of its mechanical identities were kind of ass.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Do you realize that we've spent like 10 minutes on this announcement that there's no announcement?
Yeah, that's because it's...
Because we're picking up the slack.
All right.
Anyway, so Clues brings up a good point. Let's go to the actual news.
Woo. Is it called news?
Actually, it's called So Much Amonkhet News.
Oh, news.
So much.
What's an Amonkhet?
Well, if you're my buddy AJ, then it's Almond Cat.
Ooh, that sounds way catchier. And there are cats in both.
He sent me a message today that said, hey, Almond Cat News. And I'm like, what in the got it. I don't know if that was autocorrect or if it was him being funny. Either way, it wasn't funny. So, yeah, we've got Amonkhet News with, stuff.
Yeah, hey, can I apologize in advance for the salt?
No clues. You said you didn't want to be that salty guy anymore.
Look, I know I don't want to be, but, oh, there's a couple of things that just make me salty. So salty.
Okay, Clues, you're allowed to be salty, but for everything you say that's salty, you have to say something that's sweet.
Okay.
You have to hit equilibrium here.
Okay, look, we don't have that kind of time.
Fair enough.
She's right.
All right, Clues, here's your salt box. Get up on it and then be ready.
Okay, so.
Okay, yeah.
I will start, and then we will let Clues make the proper noises and break in when he can't take it anymore, okay?
Yeah, you don't want to, like, edit and bleep things out, right?
I would prefer not to, because I want this up tonight so that I can play Overwatch.
I'm gonna mute my mic for a minute. I'm gonna get most of it out of my system.
Fair enough. And he did. He did mute his mic. I can see it.
True.
Okay, so, the first thing, this one threw me, I'm not gonna lie, is you're gonna have tokens in the set, you know, and there's the tokens and the tip cards and all that crap that comes in the pack that's not actually.
And the Jello Button Pops, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not actually a magic card.
Right.
Well, now they're going to have punch cards.
Oh, God.
And these are not cards that you punch or cards that you use to punch people. Those are called creatures.
Yeah, don't punch people.
Unless it's with creatures.
Yeah, that's fine.
But now we have punch cards that have little perforated sections that you can pop out that say things like embalmed and exerted. And -1/-1, and look like a brick.
Yeah, okay, let's just stop right here.
Let's clarify, it's not a brick, it's a stick of butter.
We're gonna look like a stick of butter.
Oh, yeah, that is nice.
It's seafood?
Yes.
Well, there is a crab in this set. We're gonna talk about the embalmed, exerted, those sorts of things. We're gonna talk about those in a few minutes, but I just wanna talk mechanically about this as an idea. So I see what they've done here, okay? We're going to put a tip card in a pack. That tip card is going to have little punch outs that you can punch out for status effects that you might need to keep track of, including -1/-1 counters and bricks, because why not? Brick. Where did you get a gun? I can see it. I see the vision in my head of all of you players punching this crap out and then just leaving them lying around. And then we've got to clean them up. Because there is nothing, absolutely nothing worse. I hate it when you take the trash and you put it in the table number. That is just rude. What are you thinking? That's not where trash goes. We've got a trash can. It's right over there. But I can see, we hate it when people decide, you know what? We need counters in our game here and we didn't bring any dice or anything because we're not prepared. So here's what I'm going to do.
Well, wait,
I'm
going to go get it. Is it ripped up paper?
I'm going to go get a basic land and I'm going to tear it into little pieces. And those little pieces are going to be my counters that I'm going to use. And then when I'm done, you know what I'm going to do with them? I'm just going to leave them right here on the table. Better yet, half on the table, half on the floor. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what these are going to be, but they're going to be at every table. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the punch cards.
See, the thing is, he's not wrong because no matter what, if you punch anything out of one of these, you've got a frame that's still going to be lying around.
Yeah. You're going to leave it. You're going to leave the brick because you didn't have any cards with bricks. And then you're going to leave one of the embalmed. The other embalmed is going to be three tables over underneath the chair.
Yep.
I like the idea. It's a great idea. These are status effects that are going to be tricky that people are going to need to remember. I see what you've done there, Watsy. But I just know what's going to happen at a big tournament. It's just going to be a mess.
Yeah.
So what I will say, these clues hasn't actually said it yet, is that beyond making sure you don't do this, tell the people around you not to do this.
Yeah.
And if they do it anyway, please just be a nice person and pick up after them because the judges have enough crap to do.
Or call them out. Just say, hey, buddy, you should pick up your scraps of embalmed.
Pick up your paper and take it away.
You should pick up your scraps of embalmed.
So this will be a thing. And like, not everyone's going to do it because some people are jerks. And I will ask you, because I'm not a judge, so I'm not directly affected by this, pick up after each other. Because if you make things miserable for your store, you're going to make the people running this miserable. And you're kind of relying on them to continue to want to do this because I promise they're not getting rich.
Certainly not.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I've mentioned it on this show, but Lucky, like the Lucky, just opened up Lucky's card shop again. And he completely redid the interior, and the place looks nice. And now I can just see just crap just scattered all over everything after he has, like, a pre-release or whatever. Especially after, like, the third pre-release in a row.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It hurts a lot. It hurts my soul. My soul. So, which I don't have because ginger, but still.
If you had one, it would hurt.
Exactly.
It hurts your soul cavity.
Ow.
Yeah.
It's a phantom pain.
Yeah. The phantom for what was never there. But the other thing that I'll recommend, and this will matter more as you understand what it does for the future, is that nerds like to have stuff that other nerds don't have. So make your own and bring those. And then you'll keep up with them because you made them.
Yeah, make them really nice too.
Make them cool. Like, be proud of it.
Little wooden tiles that you've maybe, I don't know, etched or.
Like, you remember when Monsters came out and people were printing out monster pants? Did you guys ever see those?
The Monstrous.
The Monstrous pants, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, they were cute. And you put a little cutout of them. You just print it offline. You cut it out. And then you put Monstrous pants on monsters when they became monstrous. And it's exactly this kind of thing, because it's going to be for keeping track of a condition that we'll explain in a moment. Do something clever with it. Do something fun with it. But do something that, most importantly, doesn't involve using any of these things. Like, get some little Legos if you want Lego bricks. Or get some little wooden tiles from, you know, games you have lying around. You've probably got all kinds of things, stuff that you'll keep up with because they're yours. And just bring them and be the neat person and be the cool person and be the person who has cool stuff. And then inspire other people to do it and be expressive with it. Have fun. But most importantly, don't tear up little pieces of paper, whether or not Wizards gave them to you, and leave them on the table. So does that alleviate most of your immediate salt clues?
Yeah. If players can, you know, just be a little responsible for themselves, that'd be awesome. We can fix this.
Be decent.
Yeah, be decent. Wheaton's Law.
That's true.
All right. What else we got?
Okay. other than litter, we've got Amon Kett promos already.
Because why not?
Because why not? Now, this is cool. Do we card by card this? I don't think we do we?
Well, I don't think most of them, I mean, some of them bear mentioning, some of them don't. Some of them have new mechanics, so those might be interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first four that it has here
are
neat. I'll
say there are only four, aren't there? Yeah, okay, so.
Like, go with that, and then when we get to that giant pile of stuff from below, we can ignore those, because they're all, like, reprints of old comics.
Yeah, those are all silly. So, Archfiend of Ifnir.
Archfiend.
What did I say?
You said Archbeard, which sounds really cool, but is not what it says.
Oh, because I was focusing on Ifnir and I was trying, my brain was making scurred. That sound. I am scurred. So the Archfiend of Ifnir.
What if it's not near? What if it's far?
That's a different clause, Clues. Wait, you know that, you're a judge.
Near? Far.
Wow.
Oh, the near. Thing is, Levelator might break so that.
I couldn't resist. okay, so the Archfiend of Ifnir costs 3 black-black for a 5/4 demon with flying.
Better.
And whenever it has cycling. Cycling is back.
Yeah.
Ooh. And whenever you cycle or discard another card, which seems
redundant?
Yeah, but I guess they put that for clarification. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever you cycle or discard another card, put a -1/-1 counter on each creature your opponents control. Damn. So that's pretty neat.
And it has cycling too. So for people that have not played with cycling before, that's pay 2 generic mana, discard this card to draw a card. And that's an ability. No one can counter it unless they've got something that's probably not in the set. Don't worry about it.
Stifle.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll tell you if you should worry about it if it happens. For the most part, this is your way of like, oh man, I really need something else right now.
Yep.
And it's one of those classic awesome mechanics that people just love because it's so useful. Like, this card is really good, but on turn 2, when you've got no land in hand, it's a large pile of crap. So you cycle it to hope to draw out of that. And that's just the most basic use for cycling. It also puts things in your graveyard, which people enjoy because then you can do things to it while it's there. You know, reanimated or something.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
I've got
no salt for this.
Doesn't directly screw you over.
Yeah. And this is the buy a box promo. I don't think I said that actually. So yay. So cool. Who wants to read about Legos?
I will because it has bricks. So Oracle's Vault. It's an artifact, just cost 4. It's got 2 abilities, so pay attention because it gets kind of wordy. So for 2 and tap, exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card. Put a brick counter on Oracle's Vault. That's all one ability.
Now, it should be noted, when we say play that card, we mean that if it's a land, you can play it as a land. If it's a spell, you can cast it if you pay for it.
Yeah. You get nothing free, no special timing tricks. If you've already played a land and you have no special thing going on, you can't play another one. So you probably want to do this before you play your land for the turn.
You basically just pretend this card is in your hand for now. It's just revealed.
And just be aware that, you know, after end of turn, that card stays in exile and is very unlikely to matter again. Give or take shenanigans. So. And here's the other ability that it has. Tap, exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card without paying its mana cost. Activate this ability only if there are 3 or more brick counters on Oracle's Vault.
Why do you build me up?
Because you want to cast things for freebies. That is why you build me up. So, of note here, the second ability, you can't use it all for any reason unless you've got 3 or more brick counters on the vault. So you can't just do half of it or anything. That applies to the entire clause. The first half will put a brick on it. If for some reason you want to keep using the first half without the second half, you can continue to do so to add more bricks on it. That might matter for some weird mechanic.
Although I should point out that if you're gonna do that, make it clear to your opponent that that's what you're doing with that, because it does have 2 abilities that have very similar effects immediately, which is exile the top card of your library.
One of them involves spending mana.
One does, yes, but I could see people trying to do things out of order to game the system. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, don't tap it and say, oh, actually that was floating or anything. I mean, It's a dumb corner case you shouldn't create because it's stupid.
Yeah, there we go.
And you'll feel stupid because it's stupid. So don't. And also note that you put a brick on top of the Oracle's Vault immediately before you play that card, because it's part of the ability that gives you the ability to play the card. So again, corner cases, but note the order of operations here. The card might care how many bricks you have. I don't know what's in the set. So, but hey, that's neat. So for a low, low price of 4 mana, you get nothing. Once you get up to spending 6 mana, you get the red card advantage ability on a colorless artifact, and you start your installment plan to when you've ultimately spent 10 mana and a few turns for a free card a turn.
Which seems good.
Which seems pretty good. And obviously, other things that let you mess with your brick counters may be relevant, especially if you're playing in formats that let you add an additional counter of a type to a permanent you control. So.
And this appears to be the launch promo? They don't say, but the date on it, 28 April, is that launch weekend? Or is that pre-release? Because I think that's launch weekend.
Oh, they don't. Oh, that's weird. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I mean, like, pre-release, they just give you random rares out of the set, so.
Yeah.
There's no reason to show us one.
Oh, in fact, I'm sorry, if you look in the card number down at the bottom in the frame, it is the launch promo.
Oh, right, I forgot they did that now.
Yeah, so even though they don't explicitly state it, that's totally
legal. Oh, yeah, that's neat. They actually tell you game day and stuff, too, so cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's some cards down here for game day, if you'd like to talk about those clues. These are your colors.
Speaking of game day, if you want to play in the correct colors, come to game day. So your participation game day promo is True Heart Duelist. It costs 1 and a white for an uncommon that is a creature human warrior. Has a couple of abilities. They're probably fine. Things you probably heard of before. It is a 2/2. So 1 and a white for a 2/2. And True Heart Duelist can block an additional creature each combat. So hey, there you go. We'll just intercept. We'll intercept two things. Why not? Probably cool. Gonna die if that happens, but it'll be okay, cause it also has an ability here. Embalm for 2 and a white. No reminder text, just embalm. Now, we do not yet have the full mechanics article that our good friend Matt Tabak is gonna be posting. That'll be posted later on, I believe a week from now.
When he's done killing all the creatures.
Yes, and making everything that you love gone.
He's not rules manager anymore though, is he?
No, I don't think he is.
Yeah, but he still kills creatures.
Yeah.
Damn, that's cold.
Isn't it?
He is a cold-hearted snake, let's say. They do have some excerpts from that article so that they can explain what these abilities do. So embalm, let's just skip to what that does. I'm gonna read it verbatim here, okay, because it's not very long. Embalm is an activated ability you can activate if the creature card with Embalm is in your graveyard. So Embalm does nothing in your hand, does nothing on the battlefield, only works in the graveyard. Notably, you are not casting the card from the graveyard, so things that counter spells won't work against the Embalm ability. So you're activating the ability. The original creature spell can be countered, of course, but that just puts the card in your graveyard. To activate an Embalm ability, simply pay the Embalm cost and exile the card. You do this at any time you could cast a sorcery, meaning during your main phase when nothing else is happening. When the ability resolves, you create a token copy of the card, but as you'd expect, going through the process of mummification causes some changes. It's got that whole undead thing going on, so it's a zombie in addition to whatever creature types it used to have. You'll find lots of ways to take advantage of its new zombiehood, I'm sure. And now that it's all service all the time and doesn't care about whatever it was that it cared about while it's alive, it's white instead of whatever color it used to be. One more minor change is that it doesn't have the mana cost that the card has. So basically, you're going to make a copy of this card. You're going to exile this card, make a copy of it, make it white with no mana cost, make it a zombie in addition to whatever it was, and there it is. Bam, it's on the battlefield. And I know what you're thinking. I'm embalming lots of stuff, maybe. I probably want some tokens for that. Good news. Every card that has Embalm will have its own token. Now then, I'd like to go ahead and find my... Is my salt box around here someplace?
I don't think you actually got off of it, Cliz.
Oh, yeah. Good. Excellent. That's why I can't find it. I'm still standing on it. Okay, this kind of worries me too from a logistical standpoint. So there's gonna be a token for every creature with Embalm, so that the thing that's on the battlefield clearly represents the thing that you've exiled. But that means that you, as a player, need to make sure that you have the tokens for the cards that you might embalm. I don't see that happening. What I see more likely happening is people will open the embalm tokens and go, I don't play this deck, and just leave it, because they're going to leave it on the table, because it's what they do. And then judges are going to have to walk around with a giant stack of these so that when they come to a table and see that you have decided to pretend that you have morph creatures, and when you exile the thing, instead of exiling it, you're going to place them on the battlefield face down to go, oh yeah, that's my embalmed thing. No, don't do that. That is morph. That is not in this set. Stop it.
Stop it.
Yeah. So
sorry, reflex.
Or they'll take it and they'll go, oh, I'll just set it on the battlefield with a little like embalm counter on it. How about that? Okay, but that thing was exiled. Stop doing that. Although I'll bet that's what these little embalmed punch outs are going to be for. Cause then you're going to knock the little embalmed punch out off, and then you're going to forget, oh, is that the real thing or is that the embalmed thing? And then I don't even know.
But can you even?
I can't. I cannot even. Is it okay to say the whole cannot, or do I have to say can't? I can't even.
I don't think you would ever follow the rules on this one, Quiz.
Is there some sort of a governing body for use of meme?
It turns out the Oxford comma has been endorsed by the Supreme Court, so.
Yes, it has.
Well, and it should.
That's good, because the Oxford comma makes sense, and if you're one of those holdouts who's like, oh, I don't use the Oxford comma, well, you're wrong. You're just wrong.
You can sit over there with the people that push space twice after period on your keyboard.
That's right. There's no need to do that anymore either. There used to be.
Yeah, I used to do that. I'm sorry.
And then
I
you got better.
I was a holdout for a long time, and then I realized it was dumb, and I stopped.
We don't hold back here on Monday Night Magic when it comes to grammar.
Only the important issues.
We tell it to you like it is. Hey, should I talk about Glorybringer as well, or somebody else want to take that?
I mean, sure. Go ahead.
You named it.
All right, so it is Glorybringer! It is 3 red-red for a 4-4 Dagron, because everybody loves the dragons.
Like in real Egypt.
That's right. I mean, we all know that Egypt was chock full of dragons. What do you mean it was? That is why they worshipped cats, because cats are...
They came from dragons. Egypt, right?
They're like dragons without wings.
You know who came from Egypt, right?
They also don't care about you. I don't know who.
Smoke.
No, Anna and Farah. Why would they have all of that gear if they weren't killing dragons?
Oh. Yeah. It's legit. Right. Checks out.
Okay, yeah.
You have to have a rocket pack and you have to have a healing sniper rifle to hunt dragons in Egypt.
So, 3 red-red, so 5 mana for a 4-4 creature dragon. It's a dragon, it's red, so it's got flying and haste. There you go, that's everything you need to know, right? Right?
That generally makes this playable, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, just that right there, 4-4 flying haste for 5. Yeah, that's okay. But it's a rare, and it's got another ability on here. You may exert Glorybringer as it attacks. When you do, it deals 4 damage to target non-dragon creature an opponent controls. Okay, so what's all this exertion crap? Well, I'm glad you asked.
Ooh, like when you move you have to put your washing machine in the bed of a truck.
That is exactly right.
Cause I was exerted.
You still are, I think.
Maybe.
Which means you will not untap on your next upkeep. Exert allows creatures to give a little more effort to produce unusually good results. I would call it uncommonly good, actually, but I just want to make a Keebler reference. Then it would sound like it's not on commons. I see why they didn't. Okay. You make the decision whether to exert a creature as you declare it as an attacker. If you choose to have it exert, an ability will trigger and grant you some bonus. As a trade-off, that creature won't untap during your next turn. It's tired. Needs a nap. Attack more later. Look, I'm just quoting Tayback here, okay? You don't have to exert the creature as it attacks. If you don't, no ability will trigger. It will untap during, Untap normal during your next turn. Who's normal and why are we untapping it? I think we need more Oxford comments.
The guy who did not exert.
Note that as you declare attackers is the only time you can have it exert. You can't wait until later in the turn and then exert it. When your next untap step rolls around, if the creature you exerted is untapped, nothing happens and the exertion cost you nothing. Maybe you found a different way to untap it, or maybe you gave it vigilance. You are clever. And you clean up after yourself.
Yeah, so there's some uses for that.
So there you go. That's what your embalm and your exert is that's going on there. They gave us 2 nice examples here that clearly illustrate what they do.
Yep. So there are a few important things to note about exert. As noted here, all the ability means is that on your next upkeep, it doesn't untap. It doesn't mean that it is extra tapped right now.
Nope.
It just means that there's an instance floating over this, which will probably be represented by the little punch out card, reminding you that at your next upkeep, you need to take that card off, like a little punch out, off the creature so you remember next turn whether or not you just did this. Because that's going to be the biggest pain you're going to run into in this format until everyone gets a hang of it. They're not going to remember, did I attack this turn, last turn, or the turn before? It seems like you'd remember when things start getting complicated, you'll forget, especially when you have a bunch of these at once.
Yeah, it's one of these invisible effects that's really important if you forget it and can be real shady if you seem to forget it a lot. So please just be clear, represent it somehow.
I'm going to recommend that you put the little exerted thing that you can punch out. If you use the punch outs, if you're going to do it, put that on the creature. And then when you get to the untap step and you go to untap all your guys, pick that up off of it, but leave it tapped.
Yes. Good
do
call.
That at the same time so there's no ambiguity to it. And then next turn, you don't see it there. You just untap it like normal. That's my recommendation. I would prefer we find a better way to do that. But built out of the box, that's what you get.
And whatever you do, be consistent and explain to your opponent what you're doing the first time you do it.
So, yeah, that said, that's a good way to handle it. Second thing to note, tying into the first thing, because it just affects whether or not it untaps during that, there are a number of ways that you can get around this drawback. You can give the creature vigilance so that it never taps during attacking. You can use something that has an untap effect, which is probably in the set, given this is a mechanic. You can blink the creature, in which case it comes back as a new creature and doesn't remember that nonsense. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And most importantly, you need to understand that this is the slow turtle mechanic. Only you get a bonus.
Yes.
Because a lot of old turtle cards had a thing where when they attack, they don't untap next turn. The difference is these creatures are not turtles, so you get a benefit, like burning something to death. So.
I mean, I know whenever I'm tired, I want to burn things, so.
But you can't, because you're tired.
And I'm not a dragon.
Two very good reasons why you can't burn things.
Yeah, this should be Trogdor.
Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
So, in terms of actual, like, play recommendations, though, if this turns out to be a format with a lot of removal, or in Constructed even, you're probably going to exert every time. Because if the creature dies before next turn, then you just missed out on something cool. If it turns out to be a format with a lot less removal killing things, and you'll realistically have that creature in two turns, then, you know, it could be a different discussion. But just looking at it immediately, I think it's very likely that if the exert ability has any longer impact on the battlefield beyond the first turn you do it, I'd probably do it. Like, if it's, you know, like, exert, gain two health, I probably wouldn't do it. Like, gaining two life is whatever, but in the case of this dragon, as long as the four damage will kill something, I would probably exert it every time.
Yeah, and this thing has haste anyway, so you're gonna attack with it right out of the gate. You may as well exert it while you're at it. It'll be great. Do it.
And
do
in
it.
This case, do the four damage to that flying blocker. It's funnier that way.
Yeah.
And remember it says non-dragon, which
yeah.
People will forget. So hey, that's cool. It looks like an interesting tempo format where you have one mechanic that allows things to stick around to block another day, and another thing that encourages you to attack but then not have something lying around next turn. So, I don't know. This could be interesting from a limited standpoint. Stay tuned.
So wait, exert is only as it attacks, or is it talking about this card in...
Exert only works as it attacks.
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
So before blockers are declared, before any of that...
Yeah, you declare all your attackers, and then...
You say I'm exerting this guy.
Or you don't say that.
Yeah.
But if you don't say it, you didn't do it.
That's right. And you don't get to wait and see if your opponent responds and go, oh no, I was exerting that guy.
No, it's too late. Yeah. You declare it as you're declaring it the attacker.
I think exert is neat. And I think it's gonna make something that gives something vigilance, like, super powerful.
Yes.
If there are good exert
creatures
or whatever in the set, which I'm sure there will be.
I wouldn't be surprised.
A soul bond thing that gave vigilance?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, sure, and there's a totem armor that gave vigilance.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you guys notice how both of these mechanics are really favoring white?
You also notice how both of these mechanics are sort of hard to keep track of on the battlefield.
Yes, I could see how it could become unclear
so
quickly.
The embalm one is going to matter when you actually have to start keeping track of the cards in your graveyard. It's going to be back to like when there was flashback. You'll find people digging through their graveyard all the time to remember what they have in there. So keep that in mind.
But then when people do the, you know, the morph creature thing like Clues was saying earlier, I think it was Clues. One of you was saying earlier, I'll just pull it out and flip it over and there we go. You have to be sure that when it dies, it goes to exile.
Yeah.
But it was always in exile.
It was always in exile. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is where Clues' comment about it saying like having the little embalmed label is going to lead to a poor play choice where
bad
practices, where people are going to dig it out of their graveyard and put the embalmed thing on it. And then when it dies, then they put it in exile because like you're technically looking at a token, not the creature. And it has to go to exile, not the graveyard, when it's done.
And if it gets blinked, it's not coming back because it's a token. And if it gets sent to your hand, it's not really going to your hand because it's not a token.
And it's white.
Or because it is a token.
And it's a zombie.
Yeah,
all of these things are going to matter.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of using the card to represent the token with just putting a thing on it. I don't like that at all.
No, that's a bad habit. And like I said, hopefully we'll reach a point where you've collected all of the relevant tokens for this. I recommend you keep them in your deck box if you play limited. And
agreed.
If you're going to a constructed tournament, you bring four of them or however many you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's just how that is.
But by that same token, the whole... Oh, crap. Did I exert this last turn or was that... Or is it over now? Wait, is this untap? Now, things not untapping... Next turn has been a thing since almost day one. Like, that's...
Yeah.
This isn't something new. But doing it specifically with an ability like this that's going to be on many creatures, it's new enough to where people are going to be confused, and it's going to lead to nonsense and shenanigans and butthurt and things like that. And that's not good.
No. It's why I always keep in my dice bag, I've got some little colored glass beads, and anytime something has been like tapped and is not going to untap, that sort of thing, I totally put a little glass bead on it.
As long as it's clearly not a counter.
Yeah, well, I have dice for those.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to other people if they decide they want to do this. Just make it clear what you're doing.
Yes, clarity.
And in general, you're going to have to remember, because normally it's you do it to your opponent's creatures, so you remind them. But when you're doing it to your own creature, you are, like, you're always responsible for doing it correctly, but you're extra responsible if it's your effect that does it. Because, like, if I tap your guys down and I want them to stay tapped, then next turn, you can bet I'm going to remind you to keep them tapped. Because that's why I did it. But if it happens on one of your guys and you forget, well, when it comes up later that you forgot, that's going to get questionable. And if you make that mistake on a regular basis, you're going to be accused of cheating.
Yes.
Yep. Will happen. And so these are just things that preemptively, eventually you'll get the hang of this, but up front, be very careful, be very methodical. Think about everything that you're doing. Pay attention. If you need to use the punch card things, use the punch card things, clean up afterwards. If you can find another way to handle this by bringing something that helps, do that instead. These are all things that are going to rely on us because essentially the game is getting more complicated than you can just keep track of in your head. Don't try. Don't be that guy who sits down and is like, yeah, I don't need to write anything down. I'll remember. Like, no, don't be that guy.
Oh, and the thing is, even if you can remember it round one, okay, if you're in a tournament, like a big tournament, and you're going to go like 9 rounds today, by round 7, you're not going to remember. So just
don't put yourself in a situation where you have to justify what you're doing. It's never a good idea. So, hey, there's that. Also, there are -1/-1 counters on the little punch card. So, yeah. I mean, like those were mentioned in the context of the Archfiend, but just as a reminder in case it comes up, -1/-1 counters poof out of existence if they end up in the same card as a +1/+1 counter. We haven't seen them in a few years now, so bear that in mind. I doubt they'll put +1/+1 counters in because they usually try to keep that stuff separate and they didn't put any +1/+1s on the sheet. But when you start playing with it in the context of other sets, like in Standard, they're going to poof each other immediately. So be aware.
Yeah, they definitely try and avoid having both in the same set. So there's a pretty good chance we're not going to see +1/+1s in this set.
They are both in the same format, though.
Yeah, well, there's only so much
they
can do about
that. Be aware. Like, if you have something with a +1/+1 counter on it, you put a -1/-1, the counter goes away. They don't both sit there.
I mean, particularly with all those players that extended, it's totally going to be relevant.
Yeah, they're already dealing with -1/-1 counters and other stuff.
Yeah, so like in their life.
That was an extended joke. Stop sending the tweets.
I was running with it to see if anyone called you on it.
Yeah, I just didn't want to have to deal with a whole week of tweets about extended.
All right, then. So there are a handful of other cards here, but they're all nonsense from the welcome thing.
Oh, welcome, yeah. Acknowledging welcome that that's happening.
Yeah, so whatever.
Welcome decks
if any of these are actually in the new set, that which I think all of these are.
I think all of them that they've listed here are, but there are a bunch. The only one that's important is Ancient Crab, because it goes with the butter tokens.
Also Fling, because Fling. I love Fling. It's a good card. All right, then. So enough of that. Let's go somewhere else.
Hooray!
Yay! So Almond Cat, so previews start next week. So once they show us Planeswalkers and stuff, then we will tell you about them.
We will get sufficiently hyped, and then we will identify which one will cost too much, and then we'll identify which one will actually be better in the long run. It'll be fun.
It's also, not Tybalt. We'll be wrong.
Oh, man, but can you imagine, like, Egyptian Tybalt? He'd have a hat.
He would.
It'd be dapper, too.
And his hat. Yeah.
He could drive hard if Kieran.
Anyway, so let's go down to Florida now.
I think he needs a pirate hat.
For Grand Prix Orlando. Yay, Orlando.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about Tybalt in a pirate hat.
No. In this case, I was thinking about a song from Book of Mormon, because we're going to Orlando. I don't know if either of you have seen Book of Mormon.
No? I have not.
Okay, great. Well, then everyone out there who has, you know the song I'm talking about. You're welcome. It's now in your head.
It's now in your head, yeah. So now I'm picturing Tybalt with Mickey Mouse ears because Orlando.
Yeah. See, because I mentioned Book of Mormon, I was now picturing Tybalt as a Mormon.
I think Tybalt is a Mormon.
I don't think that's true.
Anyway.
Citation
moving
needed.
On, there were 1,284 people, kind of low, for limited, playing limited in GP Orlando. There's no Star City event this week because this is the Star City event this week.
That's right.
And it's limited, which means there's nothing to talk about. So we'll just tell you who won.
Hooray!
Hey, look, Joel Larson won.
Yeah.
He's good at this. Yeah. And he's hot. What?
Like, he's doing such a great, like, I commented before the show when we were first looking at it. Joel Larson has gotten so much experience holding trophies properly that now he's holding trophies both tapped and like a gangsta, which is impressive because he's won a lot of these, hasn't he?
I mean, I know he won one big one in particular.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he won the, which Pro Tour was it?
Winner at Pro Tour Magic Origins. Six Grand Prix top eights. National champion 4 times.
Yeah.
Seems legit.
Yeah. So there you go. So he won.
Good job.
The rest of the top, I really wish that the Wizards website would stop doing this. Noah Walker is in second. Person in third is in third. I have no idea how to remotely pronounce that.
Zile Yao. I got it wrong. We're good.
Okay, that's what I was gonna go with, actually. Exactly.
Well, then we know it's wrong.
Sir not appearing in this film is in fourth place because I love it. It's just like, I also said before the show, there's no name here because he's just looking at the camera like, you know who I am. So even though there's no name, it's Chris Pakula. You know, the guy on the original Meddling Mage.
I like to think that his name isn't appearing here because this is a non-union gig.
Like, he didn't mean to top 8, but, you know, whoops.
Well, no, like, he's there. He just can't use his real name, so he's using a blatant pseudonym, which in this case is the nameless one.
I was thinking he told his boss that he was out sick this weekend and couldn't come in.
He just didn't want his name to appear in, like, the Google search.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Except right above it, there's his name.
Up
here in the top 8 deck list, there's his name. Yeah, he's in the top 5 moments because, you know, Chris Pakula.
Well, his boss is going to be upset with him.
But yeah, it's good to see him making a top 8 here. I know he's been trying real hard to build up pro points again. I mean, he built up enough to get back on the Hall of Fame ballot, and so here he goes, building it even further. Hopefully he'll actually get into the Hall of Fame at some point. I don't get a vote, so I will. In fifth place, we have Alexander Haine, you know, that Canadian guy, who is making a very interesting face.
Yeah.
I don't know why you typed that in chat if you're not going to say it out loud.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
I wasn't talking to you. But yeah, okay, so somebody may or may not have typed in the chat that Alex Haine looks like he just killed a man in this picture. In sixth place, we have Jack Dobbin. In seventh, Patrick Tierney. And in eighth, Jorge Mantilla. All playing in the top eight here. Look at that.
All playing limited. Yeah. The meta breakdown is 40 cards are still good. We recommend playing with the cards that you open, only the good ones.
Right. The ones that work well together.
You need to find that maximum bridge of power and consistency.
Right. And whatever you do, always force Boros. Bear in mind,
I represent good strategic advice.
I not only have zero top eight appearances, I've never played in a GP.
I thought you were going to say, I've never played Magic.
Have you ever drafted?
I have drafted, yeah.
Okay.
I forced Boros.
I bet you did.
And look, the guy who went Boros finished seventh. So that's pretty good.
He top eighted. All right.
All
right. That's right. Guaranteed. You didn't hear that here.
Let's see here. Oh, he lost to Joel Larson in the quarters. So
I guess that's okay.
Clearly.
I mean, I would lose to Joel Larson.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick someone to lose to, he is very dreamy. What was the running joke for the long time? He was the Swedish Brian Kibler.
Yeah, something like that.
Except, you know, since he actually plays Magic, then he's.
I like to think Brian that Kibler is now, the American Joel Larson.
Yeah, he's now the American Joel Larson. Yeah, because Kibler is more of a Hearthstone player. I don't even think he went to the last Pro Tour. He did not actually, even though he has the invite because Hall of Fame. Sad. It's very sad. But anyway, so that was the Grand Prix. Look at that.
Take that, tournaments.
Yeah. And that's the tournament news. Okay.
Hooray!
Oh,
wow. So now, we mentioned last week, or maybe the week before, about having to keep up with your DCI number just in case. Bill, yeah. Do you remember that? My brain is fuzzy.
Yeah, so we made a note a few weeks ago that you need to be aware that you're not going to be able to look up your DCI number at events in the future, so you should learn it or write it down. And that was as a result of the fact that they were decommissioning some of the older servers that were no longer relevant. Like, all of your data was still going to be there, but it wasn't going to be something that people at the store tournament level could just pull up anymore. You were now responsible for actually keeping track of that. So in follow-up to that, they posted on March 21st, so last Tuesday, right after our last episode, they put out an article on the Wizards website. They were asking you to actually go to Wizards and sign up for a Wizard account if you don't already have one. And by extension, you link your existing DCI number to it. And there are some links in here for finding out what your Wizards account is if you already have one, so that you can go and make sure that's all set up. They've got links in here for if you don't know your DCI number and you don't have a Wizard account to get, you know, that straightened out. Essentially, read down the list under what to do. See which one applies to you and then do what it tells you to. Now, if you've already got a Wizards account, you've probably already done all this, but you should go and double check because, again, they're decommissioning some of their old systems and you want to minimize your headache by handling this. And if you show up at a tournament later and you've never created a Wizards account and you don't know your DCI number, you're probably in trouble.
You're probably getting a new DCI number.
So you want to make this smooth. You want to keep it moving and... From the technical standpoint, you want to minimize the pain points on the Wizards end of having like lingering data to have to keep up with because you would much rather those resources be going to something more relevant than digging out your 15 DCI numbers because you kept making new ones.
You monster.
You can follow the instructions in the article. We don't really have to read it out to you, but definitely check that out. And if you have to, contact customer service to fill in the gaps. But that's all here in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. So that's like all the... Oh, what's this? Clues, did you just find something?
Yeah, so late breaking addition to the news that was here earlier and I meant to add it. I just forgot to. So in the March 27th daily update, Blake has several things to talk about, but there's really only one that I think bears mentioning in this context. And that is that, starting tomorrow, so Tuesday, probably today when most folks listen to this, they are going to start, even though previews don't start until next week, we had some previews today, and tomorrow they're going to start previewing the masterpieces for Amonkhet. The masterpieces in Amonkhet are going to be called Invocations. You may remember that they were called Inventions back in Kaladesh. So they're going to be Invocations this time around. There'll be a bunch of people who aren't us previewing them because we're lame and don't get those sorts of things.
Invocations. So are these all spells?
My guess would be that they're all spells, yeah. Oops, all spells.
I mean, I guess they could be enchantments.
So the problem is that I thought a while ago we saw one of these things, but the internet is full of lies, and I can't source it.
I think that they will all be cards that make you swear.
So they can't be previewed on Monday Night Magic.
Yeah, that's got to be why we didn't get one. Yeah, that makes sense.
How considerate of them.
Yep. So look for that coming this week. I just wanted to mention that they are called Invocations, which maybe gives us a hint as to what they're like in a general sort of sense.
Could be.
You might, rabbits. You might.
So look for Force of Will.
Yeah, I'm always looking for Force of Will. It's not looking very hard.
I am a Force of Will, so that's cool. Ooh, well, thank you, Clues.
Sure thing.
For that not exactly late-breaking news, but late-breaking to us here on Monday Night Magic.
It was new to us.
Yeah. So, Magic Online?
Yeah, we can Magic Online. So, Magic Online updates go up every Tuesday and sometimes Wednesdays. We record on Monday, so most of the news that we're linking to has already happened because it's usually just tournament info and the way that things are happening with scheduled events. So pulling out of last week's news, first up, just going to remind everybody that Modern Masters 2017 happened. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, that happened a week ago. So I hope you're having fun with that online, where it costs less than a dozen paper, but it's online and you can't redeem it. So, whatever makes you happy. And by extension, the newly made common cards from Modern Masters 2017 edition are now available in Pauper online. I have no idea if that's broken anything. Probably. Tends to happen. So, neat. The throwback standard gauntlets, if you recall, there was mention of them and how they fell off the schedule because they didn't work.
Due to issues.
It was due to issues. So, they're bringing that back this time. Presumably those issues have been worked out. So, on April 5th, which is not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, they're going to be putting the Mirage Tempest standard environment back in Magic Online as a phantom event. So I spoke about this a few times before. The short version is that the gauntlets are taking existing standard decks from a given point in time, and you will get one of them at random when you sign up to play it, and you'll actually play an existing, you know, powered for its format deck and get a chance to see what that was like. And because it's phantom, you don't get to keep the cards, but honestly, the power levels of a lot of old cards, you probably wouldn't want to. But it's kind of fun to have a dual deck scenario where these were like very well-made decks and built to fight one another. So you can kind of check that out.
And we've talked about this particular batch before.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to go into too much detail on it.
Yeah. Once they show us a new one, we'll talk about those decks.
Yeah. So you can click on the link in the show notes to the weekly news, and then you can click on a link from there to the original article with more information about that. So past that... they did a bug blog update last week. So as a reminder, Magic Online is a computer program, which means as a computer program that is constantly having pieces of it updated, that has grown far beyond any sane, you know, product, inevitably you're going to run into some funny interactions or new feature implementations that are going to not work properly, which sometimes results in funny things, and other times it results in real problems that you have to be aware of. So I'm going to quickly run down the most recent stuff going on. So first up, players who attempt to join an event within a very short time frame, like less than a minute after the event's already launched, are not receiving the error message stating they did not get in. So be aware, if you try to get in and you're not in, you're not in. I don't know what it's doing, since you're probably not playing since you're not in, but you should be aware that if you're more than a minute late, you should, well, if you're less than a minute late, sometimes you might not get a warning. That's weird. Don't be late. All right. Cards that allow a player to search their opponent's library and remove a named card, such as Lost Legacy, are not allowing the player to remove the name split cards. Probably some nonsense to the fact that a split card technically has two names, and they probably messed up the coding somewhere. But just be aware if you're trying to dig out a boom bust that apparently doesn't work right now. And there are plenty of other ones, but that's just the one that immediately came to mind. Players who select to yield to miracle abilities by right-clicking and selecting yield to all abilities when the miracle trigger is on the stack are not given an opportunity to pay the miracle cost and cast the card.
But
oops. I don't know how you set that problem up, but how about you don't do that? Let's go with that as a temporary fix until they get that sorted out.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the equivalent of praying for a miracle, but then when it happens, going, nah. Or just not actually paying attention, like some kind of weird chain letter you might get from a super religious relative or something. You're just like, oh, yeah, okay, that could happen.
So you play the song, all I need is a miracle, and then that all I need is you, and then, you know, she shows up, and you're like,
crap, nah. I sang it, but I was muted.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I'm sorry.
And no, that's actually what happened, though, in the game, because when you can't actually do it, you're muted, and the song doesn't go through, and so your miracle is for naught.
Oh, that's sad.
That's very sad.
I like that song. Was that Mike and the Mechanics? I think that was Mike and the Mechanics. Now I have to look it up.
You do that. So here's something that'll make Clues
it
happy.
It was.
Yep, it was.
So, hey, Clues, do you remember Jace, Architect of Thought?
No, it doesn't ring a bell at all.
Oh, well, okay. If you did, you'd remember that its plus one ability is until your next turn, whenever a creature an opponent controls attacks, it gets -1/-0 until end of turn. This was one of the scourges of Return to Ravnica. Well, the first ability is not creating an effect shield. So if you've ever wanted your chance to hit Jace, shields are down.
Do I?
So wait, when you say an effect shield, what you mean is the plus one ability doesn't work?
That is my understanding. I have not actually seen the phrasing effect shield before, but I'm assuming that's what that means. It's possible that it's not displaying, but typically if it's just a display error, they clarify that in the bug blog. So I'm assuming this means it does not work. take that, Jace.
Jace, you're useless.
That ability was really effective at the time, so oops. Alright, non-creature permanents that become creatures temporarily are considered blocked when affected by mirror match. That's a weird scenario.
And I'm reading mirror match and I don't recognize this card at all. Where is this from? Oh, Commander 2015.
Yeah, mirror match, cast mirror match, it's an instant, who cares what the cost is. Catch it only during a declared blocker step, for each creature attacking. You or a planeswalker you control, put a token that's a copy of that creature onto the battlefield, blocking that creature. Exile those tokens at the end of combat. So you are spawning identical copies of things to block them. Seems pretty cool. Non-creature permanents that became creatures temporarily are considered blocked when affected by mirror match. So I don't actually know how that works.
When you get the copy, you should get a copy of the non-activated permanent, which can't block the activated.
Right,
so let's say
sense.
You have a man land and you say, okay, what's a man land? Give me like the treetop village. You got a treetop village and you attack with it and they go mirror match. What they should get is a land named treetop village that is not a creature.
So it's incapable of blocking.
Monkey or whatever. Yeah. And it can't block because it's not a creature. And yet that creature still considered blocked.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing that is totally just the way it was coded.
I have a feeling when they coded this one, someone shorthanded. And then all these things are blocked when really they didn't code it properly.
Yeah.
So that'd be my guess. So be aware of that, I guess. And finally, if a player concedes a match while looking at the top cards of their library in a multiplayer match, the game will soft block. That sucks.
If a player concedes a match while looking at the top cards of their library in a multiplayer match. Oh, God.
Yeah, multiplayer in paper Magic is complicated. Multiplayer Magic Online is more complicated. And it sounds like this is a bad scenario. So be aware of all of these issues. Try to avoid them if you can. If you're on the receiving end of one of these problems, you can usually put in a request for reimbursement. Because these are known issues, you may or may not get it, but it's worth asking. They tend to be pretty good about this. If someone finds out that you're intentionally taking advantage of one of these things, then they can report you and you will be charged with cheating and bad things will happen to you. I've seen instances of people doing stupid things like that before. They usually look really stupid on, you know, someone's Twitter feed when the screen caps come out, and then they get in a lot of trouble, and just don't do it. Don't be dumb.
So on the episode that I think it was when Bill wasn't here, we had a question about what a soft lock was.
Yes, I believe it was.
And we got a video. Oh God, I don't remember who sent it to us.
I did see when I was tagged, I think, when you got the video. I don't remember who said it either.
It was a fellow podcaster, I do believe. I don't even remember when that was now, so I will never find it in my Twitter feed. Oh God.
3 or 4 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was the soft lock from Apathy? Was that the
name of the card? Apathy one, yeah.
Yeah. And because we were like, we don't know what a soft lock is. And so he had recorded it. Because his, he was in a game, or he was playing in an event, and an opponent built a deck that used that to win. And admitted as much to him. He's like, so you built the deck just to do this? He's like, yeah, it's really funny, right?
I think what he said was, that's the only way I can win in this deck.
Yeah, that's,
yeah. Like, very directly, like, not only did this happen, this is the point of the deck, and I'm openly taking advantage of a bug.
Yeah.
So suffice to say, I sincerely doubt that person is doing well in the grand scheme of Magic Online. But to answer the question of what a soft lock is, essentially, if there's a problem in the coding, it's kind of like if you have something in your computer where you get a pop-up and you're not allowed to click on anything outside of that until you close whatever the pop-up is. But imagine if the pop-up appeared somewhere you can't click. And your computer is not turned off. You can move the mouse, but you can't do anything. That's kind of like what a soft lock is in Magic Online, where it's waiting for some data, but due to a mistake, usually in the user interface, you can't give it the data that it wants, and so it just sits there until you time out.
Or concede. Yeah, so this guy had built this deck to give you a creature and cast Apathy on it and make you concede.
Yeah, because either you sit there and your time runs out and you lose the entire match, or you concede the game and hope that that doesn't happen again in games 2 and 3.
Yeah. Now, what's funny is that it didn't happen again in games 2 and 3. Our hero ran this guy over, in the other two games. So that's good, but.
And still reported him.
Yeah, it was really kind of gross, but yeah, that's what a soft lock is, because I don't play Magic Online. So I didn't know what that meant. And Bill wasn't here. And Clues doesn't play Magic Online either, so we were like, So thank you, mystery person. I'm so sorry for not remembering who sent that to me. Like, I genuinely feel bad now.
You can probably look it up while people sign out.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay. Well then, do we want to hit on any other news? Is there any other news? The only other thing in Magic Online is just a reminder that they're doing Modern Masters 2017 through April 12th. So that's going to keep going for a little bit.
Nice.
Okay. So if that's it for news, then I will open a pack and lose money. Does that sound fun?
Oh, yeah. It's time for that. Fantastic.
Yeah. So as some of you were active on Twitter last week and reminded Clues of the card that I might open, as that was the condition of things to tweet at Clues.
That was.
We're going to find out if I continue to lose money. I bet I will. The score so far in this What's an EV challenge, I've opened one pack, keeping in mind these were bought at MSRP of $10. So I opened $2 worth of cards. So I am at -$8, or in the grand scheme of the four packs, I am at -$38.
Nice. And I have MTG stocks open.
Yep, same here. Great.
Cool. Well, then I'm going to tear open this pack, and we will see what disappointment awaits. And if there's a mythic, we'll see which one of you was right. All right, so pack is opened. I'm just going to go through the commons pretty quickly because I think you said that very few of them are actually worth anything.
The most expensive one right now, I believe, is 28 cents.
That is irrelevant then. Okay.
No, 70 cents.
Oh, 70. Which one? Oh, no, there it is. You're right. Yeah. We'll stop you if you call it out.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Centaur Healer, Cruel Guildgate, Cower in Fear, Slime Molding, Gift of Orzhova. Oh, man. That card was sick.
Such a good card.
Shimmering Grotto, Dynacharge.
Like third Shimmering Grotto.
Got a few of those. Attended Night, Rewind, Sundering Growth. All right, we're up to the uncommons now.
All right. Hold All on. Right,
none of yep. that. Uncommons, go.
All right, Molten Rain.
Oh, okay, wait. What was the cutoff for being worth writing down for uncommons?
Like a dollar, maybe?
Okay, no.
Oh, was it going to be a dollar? Okay.
Then. Yeah,
unless, like, three of them add up to a dollar, then we can count it. But
okay, well, so far, well, Molten Rain is 58 cents.
Okay, yeah. So half a dollar. Second card is, oh, weird. It's Thundersong Trumpeter.
Yeah, that is not worth
no,
it. It's one of Dirk's favorite cards.
Though. I forgot this card existed. All right.
It's pretty vicious when multiples.
Okay, the third one might be relevant. It's a Skurstag Cultist.
Why would that be relevant?
I didn't say worth money. I said relevant. Like, I remember this card being relevant.
I don't even remember what that one
That's
does.
The one that lets you pay red, tap, and sack a dude to deal 2 damage to a creature or player.
Yeah, and it's worth 24 okay. cents.
Sweet.
So, yeah, no.
Okay. So the rare is Xur the Enchanter.
Wait, just, was that three uncommons?
Yeah, it was three uncommons.
Yeah, and oh. it did not. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Xur the Enchanter is $1.65.
Cool.
Yeah.
So combining it with that 50 cent uncommon before, we're at like $2, right?
Yeah, close enough.
Sure. And the foil
so your shiny.
Is not going to matter. It's no. Cathari Bomber.
Wow, the unearthed you're right. bird. That didn't matter at all.
That was terrible. So am I now at so, another $2 pack?
Wait, let me go double check the foil price of Cathari Bomber.
Yeah, I'm not expecting so much. Nothing.
It is, wow, yeah, you're right. Well, it's 26 cents.
That was generous of them.
The high point on this was 33 cents. So
did you get a token?
A sapperling.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that's not worth anything.
No.
Wait, are any of the tokens?
The emblems are. And apparently one of the soldier tokens is worth $2.20.
What? Wait a minute, some of these tokens are actually worth yes. a little bit. Dude, yeah. what was the token in your last pack?
In the last pack?
Yeah.
I don't think it mattered. Let me check.
Now, don't get me wrong, this white soldier token that's worth $2.20 really has some sweet art.
I hope
it
so.
It is beautiful.
It's a golem. I have a million of those. I sincerely doubt it's worth anything.
Yeah, 15 cents.
Yeah, that one's not. But yeah, the elemental token for
voice.
For voice is almost what you got out of this pack by itself. Right. Soldier token's 220, and then Domri Raid is $1.35 at the moment. The rest are kind of
okay. Bad. So all I have to do is open nearly $20 worth of cards in the remaining two packs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, oh, you mean in each pack?
Yeah. In each, it's the pack 2 of 4, -$36. Remember, kids, don't buy magic packs. Just don't. But okay, so yeah, two more. Gambler's Fallacy means that we're opening some foil goifs now, right?
That's right.
I mean, if it could happen to Dr. Lady Clues, it could happen to me, right?
That's right. That's totally how that works.
I mean, that's how I ended up marrying Clues.
I thought we agreed not to talk about that, except on the odds and ends.
Oh, right. Pay attention for the odds and ends. We have an announcement to make.
I am not cutting that either.
I don't expect you to. She doesn't listen. We're fine.
That's right. Everything's okay.
So I guess past that, we can actually sign out.
Yes.
All right.
So wait, where are we at? -$36?
Yeah.
Nice.
At this rate, maybe I'll get to -$30 and say I learned my lesson, but not. Because I already knew my lesson. This is for science.
Even better, this is for entertainment.
That is the more accurate statement. We already know the math on this. There's no science needed. I kind of have fun opening these on the show, knowing full well that they're probably going to fail. But that's also why I only buy four. Like, I have bought none of these for myself to open in any other context. And I will continue to be that way. So, all right. Well, in that case, I will start my sign-off stuff. So you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because apparently, what funny things have happened? It was entombed. That's rough. The I was entombed.
Oh, it didn't get moved to June?
No, no. I don't think it can think that far ahead. I mean, it's still red. But no, I'm going to go with it being entombed right now. It was probably actually in the scraps of paper that will be left on the table. So if you find the eye sitting on the table, throw it away. The judges don't want it there.
Right. Do not simply put it in the table tent.
No, that's just being a jerk. That's like if you're that person who leaves their trash in someone's cup holder when they gave you a ride. You're just a jerk.
Yeah.
Don't be that. You are better than that. So, yeah, that's Twitter. Past that, if you were going to be in, South Carolina, I'm sorry, but there's a reason I said that. It's because this weekend I'm going to be at NashiCon, which is in, Columbia, South Carolina, and it's a convention run by a lot of my friends. It's fun. It's an anime con. It's really chill. And apparently down the street during the convention, the Harlem Globetrotters are going to be in town. So I'm hoping something funny happens. Barring that, a Scooby-Doo mystery. So we'll see. But I'm going to be there this weekend. So if you're going to be at that convention, let me know on Twitter and we'll hang out or something. It'll be fun. As I was telling the others before, I'm enjoying Mass Effect Andromeda, even if the faces are funny sometimes. And the animation is occasionally weird. I'm still enjoying it. The gameplay is fun. The scenario that sets it all up is really exciting for me. I think it's a good hook. I am playing it with absolutely no knowledge of who the characters in my party are going to be. So it's sort of fun whenever I'm like, oh, hey, cool. That's neat. I don't know any of that. I don't know who any of the romance options are. I know nothing. And it's been a lot of fun just wandering through that. Other than that, Yeah, let's just go with all that right now. There have been so much nerd media lately that it's hard to keep up with all of it. So we spoke a bit about it last week, so that's good enough for now. I will hand it over to Clues, already in progress.
All right. Hey, I'm not muted, right? This thing's on.
Hello? What? Clues?
Great. Yes.
Clues, are you exactly, muted?
That's exactly what I'm – you guys are such jerks. So, hey, if you
– Clues, seriously, are you muted?
Look, I've looked at my mic. I know that it's on. Cut it out.
Already in progress.
Hear more from me. You can do so on the Random Discard podcast found right here on the MTG Cast Network. Rich and I just recorded a new episode. I got to get that edited and posted here in the next day or so. So look for some new content from us there. If you want to get a hold of me directly, your best bet is the Twitters. I am at Locklouze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. And before I go, a little pro tip from Clues to you. Listen, April 18th is coming soon. You should go ahead and file your taxes. Do not put it off until the last minute. Do not ignore them. You should actually file them. Yes, it's April 18th this year. Yes, that's weird. But April 15th is on a Saturday, and there's a holiday in D.C. on Monday, so it's pushed to Tuesday. It's April 18th. Look, just do it. Just go do it. Get it done.
For the record, I took my taxes and tax stuff to my accountant on Friday.
Yeah, we took care of our taxes over the weekend. So there you go.
Nice.
I did mine at the beginning of February. Like a jerk.
That's how he had the money to buy those four packs.
Let's say.
Not even kidding. Okay, so there you go. That's all I've got. Over to you, Chewy.
I'm Chewy, and I approve this message. Oh, I guess I should give you the message. So yes, if you would like to follow me on Twitter, that is, I hate you so many times. I was expecting it too. That's the bad
part. That's why I waited.
So if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at the Mana Pool, which is where you can find me on all the parts of the internet that I'm on. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/c/themanapool. The Patreon is patreon.com/themanapool. The Facebook page, Manapool. The website, themanapool.com. Mm-hmm. Anything else? There's probably more, but I don't remember what they are. Wait, what's been going on?
Manapool?
Manapool. What's been going on the YouTube channel? I've actually had a lot of fun recording things here lately. I finished, when did we record? We recorded on the 20th. So I already told you that I finished the Aether Revolt story just in time for Amonkhet. I've got more Rogue Legacy, more Shovel Knight, more Happy Room. And I am going back to the heroic adventures, the solo adventures from Hearthstone. You know, that thing that I started way back when the channel was very young. And I sort of just stopped for reasons unknown. Well, I don't know them either. So I'm going back because Hearthstone isn't getting full adventures like that anymore. So I am determined to finish off the heroic mode of all the ones that we currently have. Ha ha! And considering I'm only on the second wing of the second adventure, it's going to be a while. But I'm going back to that, and it's very exciting to get back in there. For those that don't know, it's a player versus an AI boss, essentially. And each boss has its own particular set of skills, and they will find you, and they will kill you, while masking their Scottish accent. But as a Liam Neeson,
yeah, yeah. I think we got it. Yeah.
No, not well.
Because it's Liam Neeson.
Each insert Darkman reference here.
Okay. It was a great film.
I loved it. I watched it again not long ago, and I still loved
that
it.
Would be just fine.
Die, Darkman, die. Yeah.
That would be just fine.
There we go.
I always remember just, Jolie! Like that, but then I'm twisted. So anyway, now I don't remember what I was talking about. Right, each boss in these adventures is essentially a puzzle. You have to build a deck that works around what each boss's hero power is and what each boss's deck does. And on heroic mode, on normal mode, basically any, because that's how you unlock the cards that were in that set. You have to, you know, each boss you beat gets you more cards. On normal mode, just basically whatever deck and some competent play will get you through. But on heroic mode, you have to build something special. And it's they're brutal.
Is it Urzatron?
And if you've watched, is it
Do
what?
You build Urzatron?
I mean, sometimes. Cool. So like this first one, that I had to do, which went up for patrons and early release people, but hasn't gone public until tomorrow night. So this first one, he starts off with a board full of 0/5s. With the death rattle, which, you know, it's a dies trigger of it, they deal you 3 damage for each other one that died this turn. So if one dies, you take 3. And then if later a second one dies, you take 6. You only start at 30, by the way. And so if they all die at once, then you take, it's like 21 times 7.
Enough.
Yeah, you take lots. And, he has a hero power. Every turn he deals 1 damage to everything on the board, and damage in Hearthstone is persistent, so it doesn't go away at the end of turn.
It has persist.
It has wither.
There are these 7, essentially, yeah, there are these 7 things on the board that sit there and do nothing, and then you die. So you have to build a deck that can either kill him before turn 5, or you have to find a way around this. And, it was entertaining to do so. So yeah, I actually recorded 2 of these in a row. So second one will be going up hopefully later this week. And I'm going to try to charge through the rest of these heroic adventures because they really are a lot of fun. If anyone read InQuest magazine a long, long time ago, there was the, I don't remember the name of it, but Eugene T. Dudley was the name of the Magic player. And it was You Can't Win. And essentially, it gave you this ridiculous, highly contrived board state, and you had to figure out how to accomplish a goal.
Oh, these like the puzzles?
Well, Rosewater did it with Magic the Puzzling, yeah. Too, but that sort of thing. And that's essentially what these are, except you can win, you just have to solve the puzzle in order to win. And they really are a lot of fun to build decks for, and then to try to work, and then you lose, and then you swear. And then you have to edit out the swearing, or I do anyway, and then you try again, or you tweak your deck a little and try again, and well, maybe it was just a bad draw and you try it again. And sometimes you end up with an hour and a half of raw footage, and you're trying to cut it down into a 20, 25, 30 minute video, and you end up slamming your head into the keyboard several times. And yeah, and other times you just win on the first try, and you look at the camera and you go, well, this is a short one then, so thanks for watching. You know, it's really fun. I love it. And I have no idea why I stopped them. But I'm back now, and it's gonna be great. Yay.
Cool.
But, yeah. So, all of that stuff. If you want to help support while I like if you want to get me speech lessons, then consider supporting on Patreon. It's patreon.com/themanipool, as I said earlier, where every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. You can get,
YouTube videos and Manapool episodes early. You can get the early stuff and get the odds and ends, all the stuff that's recorded before and after Monday Night Magic and the Manapool, behind-the-scenes nonsense, us talking about real life and what's going to be on the show and pop culture and lots of swearing because it's uncensored and Clues actually swears there. That's
from time to time.
Yeah. I still love it after all these years. Yeah. And if you are feeling extra generous, you can get all of that and get your name on the end screen of every video that goes up each month that you support at that tier. Yay. So, and I keep having to use a smaller font every month because more people are signing up at that tier, and that's amazing.
That's a good problem.
It is, yeah. I love it so much. But, yeah, hell yeah. The YouTube channel is almost to 800 subscribers, which is cool. I've heard through various things that once you hit 1,000, you start getting more attention.
That is probably
but
true.
But I'm not going to artificially inflate my subscriber numbers with the various means that you can do that. Like, I'm going to get there, honestly. Yeah. Like, there's nothing worse than seeing a channel that's got, you know, 8,000 subscribers and their videos get less views than mine do. I'm like, what is this crap? That's like a, hey, you subscribe, we're going to give you this video card or whatever.
You get in this raffle.
And lots of people, yeah, and lots of people subscribe and then nobody actually watches your videos. So you're not making any more money. Like, you're not contributing to your, you know, content creating lifestyle. So it's really hollow and doesn't do you any good. So I'm not going to do any of that. But, you know, if we can get this video up to 5,000 likes, then I'll sacrifice a goat or something. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Smash that like button.
Indeed.
So I'm gonna shut up now. So, oh, and if you want to help support Magic Podcasting in general, but not me specifically, I totally understand that. You can go to MTGCast, click on the support MTGCast button and sign up for a small monthly donation. Because while MTGCast is completely free for all of you listeners out there, and it's completely free for all of us podcasters to use, it is not actually completely free and actually costs quite a bit of money. So every little bit there also helps, and I'm sure they really appreciate it. Yay!
Right.
So now I'll be done. So this has been episode 554 of Monday Night Magic. A big thanks, as always, to Squee and Clues.
Hey, happy to be here.
Are you really?
I am.
Clues?
I had a good time tonight.
Awesome.
I'm not muted.
So, jeez. So thank you all so very much for listening, and clean up after yourselves.